Publishers bemoan the dwindling of retail space, but they could just be looking in the wrong place for shelves to display their titles. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. An abundant supply of shelf space exists in the 16,000 public library branches in America, according to David Vinciamori, who teaches branding and social media at NYU and writes the Brand Truth column online for Forbes. His recent column for Publishers Weekly urges publishers to take up libraries as partners and is part of a larger conversation about reading in public places that's taking place. Andrew Albanese, a great fan of libraries himself and senior writer for Publishers Weekly, joins me now with more. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, you are there in Manhattan as we record this, Andrew, and across the Northeast, of course, we haven't had much of a spring yet, though I can tell you that in Austin, Texas, where I'm awaiting the opening of Publishing University, presented by the Independent Book Publishers Association, there's a strong hint of summer already. And speaking of summer and libraries, PW contributor Peter Brantley has written about some tweaks to the New York Public Library's summer reading program. Tell us about that.
Well, it's nice to at least be talking about summer, even if we're not getting a spring here in the Northeast. But you're absolutely right. A thoughtful column from Peter Brantley, who is a PW contributor and also happens to be the director of digital applications for the New York Public Library, in which he talks about how the New York Public Library summer reading program is, in fact, changing. And why? And I think the column is actually quite a nice wake-up call for publishers. In essence, the NYPL is changing its program to move away from its past focus on things like book lists and book recommendations to focus on just getting kids reading. And that means reading whatever the heck they want. Now, the goal for NYPL is to get the kids to read for at least 20 minutes every day and hopefully more. And if that means a kid wants to read a copy of a Rookie magazine on the web, as Peter writes, then that's great. If it's a superhero comic, then go for it. And if it's Stendhal, then thank the heavens and pass the Proust, he says. The revamp program is going to focus on just getting kids to read. And that means whenever, whatever, wherever, whether it's at the library or at home, online or at the store, on the subway, whatever. And to help with that, the NYPL is also working on a mobile app for the summer program that they're going to unveil soon that will allow students to access the New York Public Library resources and its summer reading program right from their phones. Now, I mentioned this was a sort of wake-up call, and why do I think this is a wake-up call? And I realize we use that term wake-up call a lot in the digital age, but in short, to me, this represents a really important acknowledgement that the book is no longer at the center of our cultural universe, that the internet is. And this is coming from a cultural institution that was built on books. But I don't think the publishers should be frightened by that. I think the good news is that kids are reading. And of course, reading is really our business. Peter writes that in changing its summer reading program, NYPL is acknowledging that we now live in a world of network distraction. And that's true as the internet is about to encroach onto our wristwatches with the Apple iWatch. And in order to keep kids reading, I think we need to respect their choices, he says. And I couldn't agree more with that. So it's a thought-provoking column, and I think it should generate a lot of discussion.
Well, indeed, and you know, there will be a discussion about libraries and publishing coming up later this month, April 28th in New York, and it's all been provoked by a column that I alluded to in my opening there, David Vinciamori's article about the case for libraries. PW published that last week, and it's caused a stir.
Yeah, you know, I probably should have talked a little bit about the article in last week's podcast, but I wanted to wait until it was published to see what kind of reaction it was going to get so we could talk about the article and the reaction. And the reception has been pretty huge. It's already one of the most heavily shared stories we've published this year so far. And in it, which you're right, it's called The Case for Libraries by David Vinciamori, a leading marketing expert, NYU professor, and Forbes contributor, as you know. He argues that visual merchandising and visual marketing, that is like the actual physical display of books, is still one of the most powerful tools available to sell books. And in an age where bookstore shelf space is dwindling with the loss of borders, libraries are in fact ideal partners to pick up the slack. Now, we talk about libraries a lot on this show, and as you mentioned, I'm a big fan of libraries. That's absolutely true. Guilty as charged. And David's argument has made sense to me for a long time. And yet, for most of the last few years, our conversations, and certainly many of our conversations questions here have been about the tension over e-lending or lawsuits over e-reserves. Meanwhile, Amazon has been gobbling up market share and generally making life a little difficult for publishers. So what David proposes is that publishers stop seeing library lens as lost sales and instead see libraries as the marketing engines that they are. And more to the point, that they start supporting libraries, not only by embracing library sales, but by actually spending money on better marketing displays for libraries and actually working with strategies to launch authors, especially for debut authors and midlisters in libraries. You know, by actually spending money to market library books, everybody would benefit: publishers, libraries, readers, and authors. And I've stressed this on the show in the past, but it could really also help blunt Amazon's growing power. Like David, I think I've been a little puzzled by how publishers and libraries have been embroiled in such tense discussions over ebooks, for example. Meanwhile, Amazon keeps taking an even larger and larger share and dominating the direction of the market, when I think together, publishers and libraries could really form a sort of bulwark against Amazon, especially in the ebook space. So, you know, the response to the pieces I mentioned has been very strong. We hope the discussion is going to heat up even more in the coming weeks. And as you note, there are also still seats available for our PW Discussion Series event, which will be hosted by David Vinjamuri. It's also titled The Case for Libraries, and that is going to take place on April 28th at 8:30 in the morning in the Random House Auditorium here in New York City. You can check out the article and you can find out more about the event and even register online on the PW website. Just search The Case for Libraries. It'll come right up. We have a great panel set for that day. It's a who's who of publishing and library people actually on the panel, but also registered to attend. So hope to see you there.
Well, Amazon came up in all of that, Andrew, and I suppose that's no surprise, really. We talk about them a fair bit here on the program. And this week, Publishers Lunch reported that HarperCollins is moving back to straight agency as far as the pricing for ebook sales through Amazon. Any thoughts on what's to come?
Yeah, you know, I saw that report, and no, I don't have much to add except to say that I don't know what straight agency pricing is, and I don't even know if it exists anymore. Lunch suggests that straight means no discounting, that they're moving back to straight no discounting deals. But the report also acknowledges, and it's true, that Apple's court-ordered ability to discount cannot be infringed. So there goes straight agency for the second biggest ebook retailer in the market. So I mean, what that means for HarperCollins negotiations with Amazon, whether they're going to draw a line in the sand, I don't know. We talked about HarperCollins possibly going back to war, like a la Hachette, with Amazon. But we will see what that means. Apparently, a change is coming to Harper's terms. That much we know. Harper's confirmed. And that's going to happen next week. So I guess we will be paying attention to what Harper has to say from the floor of the London Book Fair.
Indeed. An interesting perspective, too, for that kind of news. And I'll look forward to seeing you there. And we'll record our podcast from the floor of the London Book Fair next week. And always a pleasure to be back in England. As the poet said, oh, to be in England now that April's there.
Yeah, and in a new home, too, in Olympia, which I've seen the renovation, and it's really quite lovely. So we'll get some natural light this year. I'd also take this opportunity to remind listeners that, the as usual, PW will be reporting on the fair with our show dailies, which they can access on the PW website. So I'm looking forward to a great London Book Fair, and safe travels to you, Chris, and to everyone heading off to merry old England.
Well, indeed, and anyone looking to attend some of the programs that Copyright Clearance Center is sponsoring at the London Book Fair, can check it all out online at copyright.com/London. Andrew Albany, senior writer, Publishers Weekly, thanks as always, and see you in London.
My pleasure as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Kinney. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.